It'd be great if all of you live a long time and none of you get old. Try to work that one out. First, I'd like to thank Vern Peterson and Scott Matheson for setting aside their better judgment for a moment and inviting me to speak this afternoon. A little later, I walked into the office and saw those posters on the doors. And it said Easter celebration, and the theme, Life Beyond the Passion. Oh, okay. I've got to think about that. And then I thought, well, I better go see the movie. Well, I had purpose not to see the movie. And the reason being, from what I'd heard, I was not sure I was up to it emotionally. A lot of emotion around my life these days, and I like to keep it to a minimum just for what comes up normally. But I better get Lucy and go, and so we did. She with her walker and oxygen tank and me hauling it. I noticed one thing when we got there. I love popcorn, even the expensive popcorn. But it didn't seem right to take popcorn in to see The Passion. Now, if you ate popcorn, don't tell me about it. But it just didn't seem right. But I emerged comfortable with the text I had chosen. A little while ago, before lunch, I was sitting in a hairdresser's waiting for Lucy. Picked up Time, cover article, Why Did Christ Suffer? I thought about speaking on that, if I could. You'd have to use 12-cylinder words like propitiation, justification, reconciliation, redemption. And that would be good. But I chose instead a simple text with just 9 words. Psalm 118, verse 22. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. Years ago, I read a book called Your God is Too Small by J.B. Phillips, who did that excellent paraphrase of the New Testament. And his idea was that our concept of God is too small. Well, I thought then and think now that my concept of Jesus is too small. And preparation for this message has helped me a little along that line. I hope it helps you too. Jesus, in one of his many confrontations with the priests, Pharisees, and the scribes, said, Have you never read the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. And then he quoted the next sentence, This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. It was sometime later that after Jesus had gone to heaven, Peter and John, as you remember, had walked up to the temple at the hour of prayer, about 3 in the afternoon. And there, sitting there, as always, was a beggar, a man who had been lame from his birth. And you recall how Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he did. Not only walked, but was leaping, praising God. It attracted a lot of attention. A big crowd gathered. And Peter gave them another one of his marvelous sermons. Well, the religious leaders didn't like that. So they put them in custody overnight. And you remember that the next morning, the whole Sanhedrin gathered together. Anybody that was anybody in Jerusalem was there. And they called Peter and John up and said, Now how come By what authority are you doing this? You know, and I can just see Peter. He's standing there straight and tall. And among other things, he says, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the capstone. So that simple little verse is powerful, isn't it? The stone the builders rejected. I think I remember correctly that the movie started out with Isaiah 53:3. He is despised and rejected of men. That began in Jesus' babyhood. He was about a month old when his parents took him to the temple. And there, you remember, there was this old man, Simeon, prophet. God said he wasn't going to die till he'd seen his Messiah. And they came in, and Simeon took the baby Jesus in his arms. And he had a few things to say, and among them he said, this child is set for the rising and falling of many in Israel, and a sign that shall be spoken against. Then he looked at Mary and said, yes, and a sword shall pierce your own soul also. In the movie, we saw portrayed the culmination of that rejection and the sword piercing Mary's soul. Until at the end, she's at the bottom of the cross holding the dead body of Jesus in her arms. Now, I'd just like to review for a moment this rejection. Who crucified Jesus? Now, I know you know the answers to these, but I reviewed this many times in my mind over the last year or two as I've been focusing on this subject. Who crucified Jesus? Well, it says, then they crucified him. Who were the they? Who were the they? The Roman soldiers. They're the ones that actually crucified him, didn't they? Well, why did they do that? Well, they were carrying out orders, because a little earlier it says that when he, Pilate, released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Now, why did Pilate do that? Well, earlier in the morning, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pilate, the governor. Now, you remember that three times Pilate said, I don't find him guilty. This is an innocent man. Not only they, but the multitude that they stirred up shouted back what? Crucify him. Crucify him. And finally, he gave in and gave the order to the soldiers. Now, how did the priests get their hands on Jesus? Well, one of Jesus' disciples, you remember, Judas, came to them and said, what are you willing to pay me if I deliver him to you? And of course, we know that to deliver him at such a time when there wasn't a crowd around who were in Jesus' side, so they could do this quietly. And so they counted out 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Now, the Apostle John says that was out of greed. money. But when you come to John 13 in the upper room, and just before Jesus washed the disciples' feet, it says, "And supper being ended, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." Well, the devil was involved in this. In fact, later, when he took the bread, Judas, Satan entered him. So Satan was involved in all of this. There's more to life than meets the eye. There's an unseen world of spiritual reality. But who was behind it all? Well, I think you'd have to say God was. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all." He delivered him up to be crucified, didn't he? Why? For love. God so loved the world. And the love that Mary Magdalene is talking about. Yes. And so Jesus died. Well, as someone has said, he really wasn't killed. He died because he said, "No man takes my life from me. I lay it down by myself." And he did. But why did he do that? Well, it was out of obedience to the Father. He gave himself for us. Which, as we all know, involves us at the cross. We heard it said a couple years ago, "Where was God on 7-11? Well, you might ask, where was God on Good Friday? I can answer that, and so can you. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That's where he was. One of the most inspiring sermons I've ever heard. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. You may have heard it or read it. It's Friday, crucifixion, darkness, earthquake, sadness. But Sunday, resurrection, capstone. God reversed the decision of human beings. Friday, the stone was rejected, and Sunday became the capstone. Now, in this matter of the capstone, Living Bible has a helpful addition of three words in Psalm 118:22. "The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone of the arch." That's helpful. Some of you may have seen the Colosseum in Rome. I'm sure all of us at one time or another have seen pictures of it. And it is just one mass of arches. Big arches. At the top of each arch is a capstone. And as you know, how they build stone upon stone upon stone upon stone, stone. Then they come to an arch, and then the stones have to start to come in. Then you need a scaffolding to hold them up until you get to the top one, which is kind of like a wedge, a blunt wedge that they put in up there, and its weight holds the arch. Take down the scaffolding. Jesus became the capstone, the apex, the focal point. You remember on Good Friday morning, Jesus before Caiaphas. And he isn't saying much or anything until Caiaphas said, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us, are you the Messiah, the Son of God?" And Jesus says, "It is as you say." Today would say, "You said it." "And you will see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." I underline the three words, "You will see." You don't believe it, Caiaphas. You're rejecting it now. But the day will come, you will see. And everyone will see. I need to read just a few verses from Philippians 2 then. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. One time I got on a plane here in Colorado Springs, found myself sitting next to a young lady, a student at Colorado College. In the course of the conversation, she told me she was Jewish, but that she had read the entire Bible through that previous school year. I said, "You did? You mean you had a class?" She said, "No, I just did it on my own." I said, "You mean both what we call the Old Testament and the New Testament, the whole thing?" She said, "Yes, I did." Well, I said, "That's quite a feat." I said, "What did you decide after that?" She said, "I decided that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." She was Holy Spirit taught. He is the focal point. That is the focal point of the Bible. Now, if we could hang on to John's coattails, when he's taken up into heaven, we'll read a little bit of what he saw. "I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll." And I'm not going to read word for word. "And a strong angel said, who's worthy to open this scroll?" There wasn't anybody found worthy to open it. "But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep, because the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll.' And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures, in the midst of these elders, stood a lamb that looked as though it had been slain. And he came and took the scroll." And then he tells how the elders, four living creatures, sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for you were slain. And you've redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Then John says, "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne," all around. Here you've got the Lamb, four living creatures, the elders. Now you've got angels. And it says 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And my computer didn't break down figuring that out. That's 100 million angels plus. Have you ever arrived late at a football game where there are 80 to 100,000 people already in the stands, and you hear some roar go up because something nice that had happened to their team? It just kind of sends shivers up and down your spine. Think what it would be like to hear 100 million angels plus saying with a loud voice, "Worthy," I can't, well, I can't do that all by myself. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and might. Boy, that'd be something to hear. But that's not all. Out beyond the 100 million plus angels, it says every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and as are in the sea and all that are in them I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. He's the focal point of the Bible. He's the focal point of the universe. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone of the arch of the universe. Now, just to conclude, let's come back to Simon and Mary Magdalene. Simon, Pharisee, probably self-righteous Pharisee, and Mary Magdalene, the immoral woman. Simon rejected the stone. Mary Magdalene made him the capstone of her life. And so she was totally devoted. She was present, watching as he was crucified. She was present, watching as he was buried. And she was present at the tomb at daybreak on Sunday morning. As far as I know, according to Mark, she's the first person to whom Jesus showed himself after his resurrection. Boy, what an experience. Well, when he is our capstone of our lives, you and I both know that everything holds together. Things fall into their rightful place. But when he is not the capstone, things fall apart. Things fall apart. And we try desperately to bring them back together again, but they won't hold till you have the capstone. See the capstone of your life this afternoon? Is there anything that has dislodged him? One of the Psalms, 73:25, says, earth has nothing I desire equally with you. And every once in a while I think to myself, is there anything on this earth that I desire equally with him? No. Sometimes yes, but more and more no. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone of the universe and of our lives. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you that we can come at any moment into your presence through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. And this afternoon, I want to express on behalf of all of us our profound gratefulness and the incredible joy to think of what you have done for us. Lord, we want to live accordingly. And since we will see you, capstone of the universe, we want you every day of our lives to be the capstone of our lives. our families, our work, our friendships. For then we know that life works right and it holds together. Now, as much as I have tried, O Lord, acknowledge I need you, the Holy Spirit, to teach each one of us and enlarge our concept of you and what this means to us. I ask you to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.